celebrate Day's life. Great man to celebrate. And to comfort, especially Sandy, the family. And also to remember the hope that Dave believed in. Because Dave right now, this is the shell, his body. The Apostle Paul says to be absent from the body. For a believer who's trusted that Christ died for their sins, he was buried, he rose again, that have been saved by grace through faith, not of themselves, not of self-effort, works. It's a gift of God, not of works lest anyone should boast. That moment, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells a believer. And Dave, many years ago, that happened to him. And then, because he appreciated God's grace so much, he invested hours, so much time in his life, serving his Creator. What an example to all of us. You know, I always said Dave could get in 1,000 Bible verses in 45 minutes and make them all, you know, that's an exaggeration, but he would just take so many verses in context and put it together, and it just made sense. He was so gifted. Every time I heard him teach, I learned something. I studied the Bible a lot on my own. But Dave was a really gifted Bible teacher. I know he was a good father, good husband. Later, maybe I'll tell you a story of what I thought was so funny when Dave was asking your opinion that time on something. She's trying to do wash. And she's like, I'm trying to do the wash. And Dave's following her in the other room asking her. And she's like, I thought it was so funny. And but he must have respected your opinion. And anyway, we're here to celebrate. I did my mother's wake. And I did all right until I would look at the casket. Yeah, but you know what? My mother knew Christ as her Savior also. And you know what was the motto of her wake? Welcome to my mom's graduation. So we celebrate, though the family mourns, but not as those who have no hope. But we rejoice with Dave, because Dave stepped out of this world into this spiritual realm. And Scripture says to be absent from the body, for a believer, present with the Lord. So Dave is just in awe of this place he taught, heaven. And so what I want to do today is, because it's hard when you look at death in the face. I mean, we see Dave's shell, his body's still here. But as we know Scripture, we know the real Dave has in us. A believer has eternal life. So he has, and he's just in heaven now. And he'll serve God there. I don't doubt if he'll be teaching the Word of God up there. You know? And that's that blessed hope, the rapture. If we have time, we'll go to it. But Sandy knows one day she'll be reunited in the clouds. At the rapture, when those who have died that are in heaven, they come back and they get new bodies that don't get sick anymore. Right now, he won't suffer any more pains. No more struggles with sin. And believers that are alive will meet them in the air and go be with the Lord forever in heaven. So then you can just be with them forever. No more temporary separations. And for those who know the Lord, you'll be with them too. And your other loved ones who knew the Lord. So let's look at, because death is hard, people don't want to think about it, right? Sometimes believers even, if they don't really understand the grace of God and what it's all about, but especially unbelievers. To me, it's kind of weird. You got people today that are, you know, I'm not saying pro or no, but that are rushing to take a vaccine, right, in order not to die. That's why you know, that's why you take any, you know, maybe a medicine that would help you to stop from dying, right? But so many people are afraid to die because they don't know what's afterwards or what brought that. Yet, they hear the gospel, like I'll present today, or they've heard it from a friend, you heard it from Dave, and they're just like, Christ is a vaccine against death. Everybody should be running to the cross and his burial and resurrection to receive eternal life. I mean, Satan blinds the minds. If you have never trusted in Christ, I'm going to tell you something. You've been blinded. And you know where he does it? Through religion. Because religion tells you a lie. They say you got to earn salvation. You got to do these things. Quit doing those things. And when God said you're saved by grace, that means unmerited favor. Through faith, simple faith. I make a decision to trust. Christ died for my sins personally. He was buried and he rose again. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not a works, lest any man should boast. But religion and legalism has blinded unbelievers to where they want to get away because you got legalists that look down on them, you know, think they're better than them. And no believer is better than an unbeliever. You know what we are? Better off. Because we've trusted in Christ as our Savior. So I encourage you today, what better way to honor Dave than to make that decision before this service, if you want, is over, to trust in Christ and be eternally saved. So let's look at debt. We're going to look at what is debt, why people die here on earth, where did debt come from, and what's God's answer to debt. So just for the basis of time, I want to take it to the beginning. And I'm just going to tell you off the top of my head. That's what Dave used to do. He had so many verses memorized. I ain't got that good of memory. But you go back to the beginning. God created man and woman. And he breathed in the man the breath of life. His spirit in the man. Now God in the man, expressing himself out of the man, made God in his, and made Adam in God's image. He was a temple of God's spirit. Christ did that. He offered his humanity when he came to the Father, and the Father expressed himself to him. He said, I do none on my own. See, he was God in heaven, but when he came to earth in the incarnation, he didn't come to live as God. He came to show us to live as a man. When you present your humanity, your personality available to the Father, his spirit will express himself out of you. That's meaning and purpose for life, folks. Without faith, there is no true meaning and purpose for life. Because let me tell you something, family is important, right? It's good to get an education. Children are important. Friends are important. But what happens when your children move out? Who are you? What happens when a family member dies? A husband, a wife. What happens when you lose your job? I had a business, I lost it. But my identity wasn't being a businessman, it was child of God, member of the body of Christ, saved by grace through faith. So I didn't get destroyed. See, in every human heart is a God-shaped vacuum. We're born with that. That's why people sometimes try and fill it with drugs, with their profession, work, workaholics, they call them. Maybe sex. They're running from this one and this one. Try maybe I'll find love here. Maybe somebody will love me unconditionally. And there's this God-shaped vacuum, and it's got like a hole in the bottom. And when you try and fill it with other things, it just keeps pouring out. And you're like, you feel that emptiness, so now I got to try and do this. You know, like Zsa Zsa Gabor. The first one didn't love her the way he wanted to, so she said, well, it must be you. So she marries another, she gets rid of him. What was she married? 7 times for us older ones who remember Shadrach, Gabor, Mickey Rooney? See, only Christ will love you unconditionally. Only He can, God can accept you in Him. Only He gives you meaning and purpose to wake up in the morning and saying, I ain't much, God, but here I am. Christ, express yourself through me. Touch other lives. That's what they did. Praise God. What a blessing his life has been. And so, now God gave Adam and Eve, well, actually Adam, one command. He said, you could eat all this fruit. Look at the grace there. But of the tree of the knowledge, good and evil, thou shalt not eat, because eating, you shall surely die. And in Hebrew, dying, you shall die. What? To death? There's different types of death, you know that? Death is separation. You have physical death, that's the separation of your soul and spirit from the body. You have spiritual death, where you're separated from God. You have another death, which is those who just reject Christ their whole life, and God's been so good, He reached out, like today. You're hearing the gospel. The Holy Spirit wants to touch your life, give you eternal spiritual life. But those who keep rejecting it, God, get away. What happens? They leave this world separated from God still. And it's called, there's going to be a white throne judgment where all the dead unbelievers will be brought up before Christ. See, we can trust in Him as our Savior now, or we can face Him as our judge later. See, God demonstrated His love in this. Well, we're still sinners. Not when, ladies and gentlemen, everyone's born a sinner. We're born in Adam. Through one man came sin, and death through sin. So death spread to all men. We're born spiritually dead because the moment Adam defied God, he believed the lie. You can be like God. Oh, ain't nobody telling me what to do. I'll make my own decisions. Ain't no God. I don't need no God. That moment, Adam rebelled and stuck his fist in God's face. And every time we reject God's word, we're doing the same thing. We're this little peon of humans, and God is this omniscient. He knows everything. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. And why does He want anything to do with us? But God loves you. He's an intimate God. And even the one who's been rebelling for years. And I'll tell you, for young people, when I was younger, I rebelled. And I got into the gangs. I grew up in the hood. I got into gangs. I got into the drugs. And it brought destruction in my life. It started controlling my life. I thought, hey, I'm going to have fun. I'm a part of something. No. And God found me. He put on somebody's heart, share the gospel. I mean, it was somebody on TV I would never follow now because I know how to rightly divide the word. But that day, that guy shared the gospel. Like, you got to recognize you're a sinner. Hey, it was no problem to me. I knew I sinned. And you say, well, I'm not really a sinner. Okay, guys, Christ dealt with that too. You never commit adultery, say. Or maybe you have. I don't know. But Christ said, have you ever thought, had a lustful thought? No guy can say when some lady in a, well, you know how they dress nowadays, right? Come walking by him and they didn't. Yeah. Have you ever lied? You ever lied on your taxes? That's just evidence that we have a sin nature. And so when Adam chose to rebel against God, the Spirit of God left him. Now he's got a human spirit, a soul which is mind, emotion, and will, and a body. But it's empty from the life of God, so he can't pass that on to his children. Know what he passes on? spiritual death. He can't give them spiritual life and a sin nature. Now he was a rebel, and we're born into a race of rebels. Now let me tell you something. A rebel, in God's eyes, is not just somebody who goes and maybe killing people and burglar and on drugs. And a rebel is somebody in religion that says, I'm righteous. I can be good enough for God's acceptance. And God says, there's none righteous, no, not one. The only righteous one who ever lived was Christ. He lived perfect. And it said, God made him, Christ, who knew no sin. Christ lived perfectly. Because you know why? He didn't have a sin nature. You know why? Because he didn't have a human father. The sin nature is passed through the men. Women got a sin nature, but they don't pass it on. So he who knew no sin, Christ, he was God and man, so he could take God's hand and man's hand and bring reconciliation where we're separated. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us in our place. Why is Christ on the cross if he never sinned? Why? Why are nails struck to his hands? Why, as they mocked him, they shoved the thorns down on his head, and as it swelled, they went deeper. They ripped out his beard. He's unrecognizable. They ripped and shredded his back. He's in pain. Why? For you and for me. Amen. Now, if you can walk away from that, don't tell me you're a good person and not trust in what he did. With eyes, I think of Christ. He said to the religious, the strictest religious sect, like the Pharisees, but they weren't saved. They were followed traditions of men and their religion. He says, woe to you. Now, a lot of people think he's saying, whoa, you're going to hell. No. He felt like compassion for them. They're so blinded. They thought they could earn by their religion. And he wept over Israel because their Messiah and King was there, and most of them rejected him, just like in the world today. So when Adam sinned, the Spirit of God left him, okay? So he can't pass that on. So I'm going to read you, if you got a Bible, there's Bibles in the pew if you want. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, somebody from the church should be able to help you find it. I always tell people, don't take my word for things. Research it on your own. Go to Romans 5:12. And it says, therefore, just as through one man, that was Adam, sin entered the world, he believed Satan's lie that you can be as God. You don't need God no more. He told Eve, you won't surely die. God said you'll die. They would die. What'd Satan say? You surely won't die. Today, God's word says you need salvation. And the only way to do it is through faith in my Son and his finished and all-sufficient work. And people just walk away. I've done wakes before, and I can never understand it, how people, they're looking at death, and then they just walk away and put out their mind again. And he says, therefore, as through one man sin entered the world, and where did death come from? And death through sin. The wages of sin is death. When Adam sinned, the whole human race, we were in Adam's loins. We died because, spiritually died because we couldn't, he couldn't pass on to us spiritual life. So what's a dead man need? Anybody? Life. Dead man needs life, right? But there's a problem. And I'm going to come back to this verse. Christ's death, his shedding of blood, dealt with sins, right? We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul writes to the believers, right? But if God didn't deal with sin once and for all, which he did, what did Jesus say from the cross? It is finished. There was a victory cry in his weak condition. And then he gave up his spirit. Anyway, if God, he saw every sin we'll ever do. Because God's omniscient, he's not limited by time. And he took it, and every sin you'll even do till the day you die, he put him on Christ. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. The moment you trust in Christ, God says, I declare you righteous. And you become a new creation in Christ. The Spirit of God that Adam lost now comes and indwells you, seals you till the day of redemption. You're guaranteed heaven, but you don't get eternal life when you get to heaven. You get it that moment. I remember when I trusted Christ died for my sins. He was buried and he rose. That I was about 19 years old. And I didn't feel anything because spiritual things, you don't really feel. Now, we could think of things and we can get emotional and some people cry when they get saved. I didn't feel anything, but I noticed something. Within a couple of days, I had new desires. I had a couple of joints and I didn't think it was wise to just throw them away because, you know, I haven't grown yet, you know, through studying the scriptures. So I gave them to somebody. I didn't want to get high anymore. You know why? I found in Christ joy and peace and unconditional love and meaning and purpose. And from that day on, I became the Jesus freaking hood. Oh, here comes Muggsy. He's going to tell you about Jesus. And you know, some people that knew me, they said, this is going to pass. I've seen it with other people. Man, I was like 18, 19 then. I'm 65. And I'm still trying to tell people about Jesus. There ain't no passing thing. Because it's people's eternities are on the line. That's why Dave gave his life for teaching the word, studying the word, sharing the word, to reach the lost and then to take the saved and get them edified through rightly dividing the word, understanding what the word means, and building them up in God's grace so they can grow and they can get out there. And, you know, Apostle Paul talks about teaching faithful men that will teach faithful men. And that can go for women, too, because women teach women. You know, mothers, you have a ministry in your home. Teach them the Word of God. Lead them to the Lord. That's the most important thing. More important than you getting them a college education. Get them, you know, it's up to them to trust, but if they get saved, then get them a college education. You know, that's an important thing, too. But what if they get everything Jesus said? What if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What if they get everything? See, an secular education can teach you how to make a living, but it can't teach you how to live. Why do you think rich people and doctors and people in Hollywood, they're all messed up on drugs and sometimes they end up in mental institutions or they're killing themselves? Because they're empty. They got everything in the world said that will make you happy and it'll fulfill you. And they got it and they go, what? They're empty. And what I want to say, my old pastor said, he went and watched a famous evangelist, and that evangelist says, you know, every time you reject the gospel, your heart gets calloused. And it gets easier to keep doing it. Till one day, it'd be so hard for you too. And that evangelist says, "What?" And I'm sure my pastor felt like he was pointing his finger at him. What if this is the last time you hear the gospel when your heart is still soft enough where you can receive it and not reject it? And he thought about that, and he trusted in Christ that moment. See, to me, it's very foolish if God offers you a gift. Right? A gift of salvation. Why would anybody walk away? It's paid for. What if somebody offered you a ticket and a thing for a resort? I ain't talking about them calls where you find out later you got to pay taxes and then this. I'm talking about salvation is by grace, through faith. It's a gift of God. It's pretty crazy to walk away, right? I mean, I think it is. So the rest of this verse says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Well, where did all men sin? They were in Adam's loins. He was a whole human race, him and Eve, right? Go to Romans 3:23. Back up. And not only did we sin in Adam, we sin every day in one way or another. Even believers do. Because we're not always loving, we're not always patient, we're not always gentle. If you're married, are you always respectful or patient with your husband, or husbands with your wife? I know I'm not. I pray always, Lord. When I'm focused on the Lord and really, you know, I'm staying in the Word, then the fruit of the Spirit, one of the things is love, joy, and peace, all the way down to self-control. So when He produces that in me, I am. For all have sinned, and listen to this, and fall short of the glory of God. That word in the Greek means continually falling short. I got to start wrapping this up. Ephesians 3, 1 and 2. Paul explains what salvation is. I'm sorry, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. Here it goes. I love this. And you... He's talking, writing to believers. He made alive. He made you spiritually alive as a believer. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes in you and gives you eternal life, spiritual life. It's called resurrection life and power. Amen. Praise God, man. God's grace is so amazing. And you He made alive who were what? Dead in transgressions and sins. And listen to this. This is unsaved people. They don't know it. But I didn't know it. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. This world has a course. What do you think of when you think of a course? Take a college course? They're teaching you things, right? Or a boat on a course. Well, I think this has the idea of a boat. Satan's got a course for this world. And he's got a way that conforms people to this world's way of thinking. And he says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Then let's go to verse 4 and 5. But God, I love but God, God intervened when we were dead in our sins. But God, who is rich in mercy. See, it's not but God who wants to get you, like religion says. He loves you so much, he'll take you out to the woods and just whip you. But God, who is rich in mercy. Listen to this. Because of His great love, God's great love, His infinite love, even sinners. I was born one. And God loved me enough to send the Son, and Christ volunteered, because that's the only way we could be saved. For Him to take our punishment, our shame, and our blame, and then die on the cross, shed His own blood, suffer in our place. Then He was buried, and then He rose again. That ain't the end of the story. A lot of people like to wear little crucifixes with Christ on the cross. I never don't, because He ain't on the cross no more. He has risen, ascended, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, in authority above, high above all principalities, powers, and mights. That's my Lord. And you know what it says? They've taught this. He just taught through the book of Ephesians. It says, and you are seated with Christ, every believer, in union with Christ. See, when you trust in Christ, God, Christ identified with us in our sins when he came to the cross. Now, the moment you trust, he did it for you personally. A lot of you have been to catechism classes, or you were in church, or you heard, you know Christ died, he was buried, he rose. But you have never trusted. God ain't got no grandkids. Just because your parents know the Lord as Savior don't mean you do. So Christ identified with us in our sins. The moment we identify, he's dying my death for my sins. God takes you and identifies you with him. He buries you who you were in Adam. You're no longer that person. And you come out risen with Christ, and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus inwardly. And you have resurrection spiritual life. Now me, I wouldn't want to go through life missing out on that. It's just not a wise thing. And actually here, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses, he made us alive. See, resurrection life, eternal life, together with Christ. And listen to this, by grace, see, unmerited. You don't earn it. Don't believe religion and traditions of men. Believe God's word, rightly divided. By grace you have been saved. And listen to this. And raised us up, talking about believers, together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our union with Christ. He's the head. We're the body. Many members, but only one body. And we're all equal before God. Male, female, Jew, Gentile, black, white, yellow, brown. You know, in the body of Christ, we have, what do you call that? I can't think of the word. If I think about it, I'll probably think about it in 30 minutes, or it'll come to me. But anyway, he said in verse 8 and 9, and I'll be ending with this, and praise God, he answered my prayer. I asked that his Holy Spirit in me would help me to get pretty much everything in, make it precise, clear, and then end on time. I got like 1 minute. God answers prayer. For by grace, that means unmerited favor. I went all the way to Arkansas. My sister, a couple years ago, she had a problem with drinking, and then they found her in her backyard, and she was passed out, and she had all these problems. She was drinking a lot of vodka, gallons in a day, and her lip nodes were down or something, I don't know. But then she got better, but her CNA, I guess, the lady who took care of her, she told us, me and my sister, that you guys might want to come down there because your sister, I don't know how long she'll be around. So I just got out of the hospital, you remember, in a lot of pain. I was in the hospital 4 months, 2 months in rehab. I had a hole in my tailbone, it wasn't healed up yet. And I jumped in my car, and I drove, I don't know if it was 12, 13 hours, to Arkansas, because I wanted to make sure I got the gospel to her in person. And we sat down, I was surprised. I said, D, you want to do Bible study? First night, we just reminisced, you know, old time. But in the morning, I said, D, you want to do a Bible study? And I was surprised. She goes, yeah. And I went to these verses, and I explained. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift to God, not of works lest anyone should boast. And I asked her, D, do you understand what grace means? And she says, not really. I says, it means unmerited. You don't earn, you don't work. So you're saved by grace. You have been saved through faith. I said, you know what faith is? She says, kinda. And I said, you make a decision to believe and trust. And I said, And you see, it's real clear. And not of yourself. Salvation isn't you being good enough to earn heaven. None of us are good enough for that. It's a gift to God. Not a works lest anyone should boast. And afterwards, I asked her, I said, Dee, you want to pray? And I was surprised again. Most people don't want to pray if they, you know, they're not used to it. And she said, yeah. And you know what she said? Father, I thank you that because Christ died for my sins, he was buried and he rose, I trust that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. So I pray today. That's the end of the message. I pray in honor of Dave, and just because you need salvation if you've never trusted in Christ, I pray you'll make that decision today. Don't walk away one more day because you don't know what you're missing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for our brother Dave and his wonderful, spectacular life. How when he got saved and you gifted him to be able to teach your word, and he studied your word, and he invested and redeemed his time while he was here. It's not how long, how many years we have, but what we do with the years that we have. And he invested his life, Lord. I thank you for all the people that he planted seeds in, and there's still fruit growing, and still through the videos on YouTube and things and the CDs, that fruit will still be going to his account. And at the Bema seat, when believers go before our Lord Jesus Christ for rewards, I can only imagine, like that was Dave's favorite song, I can only imagine what it'll be like when I go before his throne. And he's with his Savior now, Lord. Thank you for saving him. And I pray, Father, for Sandy especially, in these days to come, that you just comfort her with your spiritual omnipotent arms and keep her close to you, and help her to remember about the rapture and bring that much to her mind. And I pray also for the rest of the family, for their comfort, and you draw them unto yourself. And Father, I pray especially for those who don't know you, that they'll make that decision, even while I'm praying, just to let you know I believe it. I believe Jesus died for my sins personally, and he was buried and he rose. And thank you, Father, that you're saving me by grace through faith, not of works. I come empty-handed to the cross, the tomb, and I leave in the resurrection. And I thank you for eternal life in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I want to tell you, too, that, I don't know, Sue was probably trying to do it. I told her, remind me, go like this. There's these CDs of Dave, and the family wants everyone to have one. There's two of the messages he did when we first got the video ministry going. And so you always, when you're thinking about him, you could turn it on and just remember and see what he did with his life. He invested it well. And I think, is there anything else that I need to? So we're going to give everyone a chance if you'd like to come up. And do we have a microphone, Ed? A microphone we could turn on? Okay. I'll come down there, and I ain't jumping. Better? No. And if anybody'd like to come up and... Oh, it's on. Hello? Yeah. Hubba, hubba. If you want to come up and say anything that may be a special time with Dave or something to honor Dave, or maybe offer something to the family. You can at this time.
I probably don't need a microphone. I'm not quite as shy as a lot of you guys may know. There's a lot of sides of Dave. I know a lot of people in here are more in the church side and the spiritual side than anything else. You had five women that were a big part of Dave's life. You know, not only that, counting the son-in-laws, counting the grandkids, counting everyone else.
Amen.
There's a lot of different things with Dave. There are a lot of people that don't realize. I mean, he had a great sense of humor. You know, unfortunately, I was someone who challenged Dave a lot. I was always big on, you know, when I found out that he was a preacher and a pastor, and, you know, and he knew so much about the Bible, it was kind of a challenge accepted. And, you know, I heard that they talked about dragons in the Bible. So do they talk about it? And Dave right away kind of gives a little chuckle. And then he starts telling me right away what chapter it's in, what book, what this, what that. And it's not really about a dragon. They don't say the word dragon, but they talk about a serpent and how they describe it. It's like dragon-like. And I'm sitting there like, you didn't even go back to research. This is the stuff you're not supposed to be able to like answer on the normal situation. You know, it's not a common question. I'm not asking about Peter or Paul. He's a dragon. And then, like, even we went to Noah's Ark encounter, me and Amy and the family, and, you know, and little things like, you know, did you know that they say, like, the unicorn was on the Noah's Ark? But they also say it was basically like a prehistoric rhino. But where it ended up becoming, it's how it was kind of perceived. And, you know, and he's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, but they didn't have no fish on there. And he gave us a little chuckle, and he goes, the world is water. But they had birds, come on. You know, but, I mean, that was a sense of humor in how I would challenge them. And it did bring me closer to God. You know, by God putting in my life, in with me, in a lot of ways, saved me. You know, not all of us start out on top. We all fall down.
Yep.
We all have to be picked up. And there's little things, you know, by challenging Dave biblically, it kind of brought me closer to salvation. You know, was that my intention though? But by no means. You know, I grew up with old school church where, you know, realistically, as a kid, you had 10 to 15 minutes of nap time, and that was called the sermon. Just as a kid, that's what you did. It was, you had no concept of what they were really talking about, you know. But by challenging in my way, it actually brought me closer. You know, there's not a day goes by that I don't thank God for what He's given. You know, but there's a lot of things that, like I said, Dave had a lot of interest. He was big into everything more than you would realize. I mean, camping and everything else. You know, his knowledge was more vast than just the Bible, but his interests were not what you would have perceived of. You know, whittling a dog. I mean, really? It's not the 1800s. But these are the things that he excelled in, and it was kind of a challenge accepted to him of, I wonder, you know, he starts picking away, and next thing you know, I can see this. I can find it. So there are different ways that Dave has really touched a lot of family. But thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? I know nobody likes coming in front of people, but this will be the last opportunity.
Grandson died.
that. Do you want to hold it? Good. Amen. That's a lot. He'd make a good politician, wouldn't he? Keep it. There you go, honey. You want to share some? Amen. Wow. Thank you. Appreciated that. Anyone else? Even little girls can get up here. Here comes. Okay, come up over here.
Oh, I'm up first too.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But like one of the memories, like I'm a spitfire like my dad, okay? Like it just happens. And he brought on his fire making kit one day, and I was immediately told no, that's dangerous enough. And he like pulled me to the side and was like, 5 minutes, give me 5 minutes. Next thing I knew, I was like, trying to make a fire with flint and steel. And he didn't happen to love us as grandkids. Like, you know, when you're married into a family, it doesn't always happen that way. But he really did. So I wanted to share that with everybody too.
Praise God. Thank you. Appreciate that. I heard.
And what my mom told me earlier was, well, now you can remember Ralph in front of Mr. Big. And I'm like, Mom, do I have to remember that embarrassing moment? Do I have to keep that as a memory?
Nobody would have known until you shared that. But she told me something else about her that when she was even little, she remembers they told her to get some rest, you know, because you're at this Bible conference and you're kind of enjoying it too. And so anyway, I guess she fell asleep and Dave just took her and carried him on his shoulder. I said, if she would have woke up, she would have said, I'm on a skyscraper. So anyone else would like to come up and share anything?
Hi, I'm Joel. I've been a member of this church just a little over a year, and it's really been such a blessing to have been able to set out a day in his teachings, and I would cherish that and grow from that through this family. Thank you.
a whole lot of people can say that. Is there anyone else? See, give people a little time to warm up.
So, as many of you know, he loves woodworking, and one of my favorite memories of him, it was one of the last times I saw him, me and him made a white, it's like a bench, and my favorite part was just starting everything, buying everything, and just hanging out with him and having fun. So,
the many facets of Dave. Sound like we can make a movie or something. Anyone else have any special memories or anything? Bill said his teaching. I think everyone, from our church anyway, and the Bible conferences he spoke at, could say they got blessed. I remember thinking, man, Dave gets so deep. And like I said, I studied the Word for years myself, and I always learned some from Dave. He put in the time.
Hey, yeah, I'm Ed Strelsky, one of the board of directors here at the church. I got kind of a funny memory speaking of the art and kind of. One time we went there, Dave and Sandy and the Bridges, and we come out of there and we talked about rain. It was raining like crazy. Trying to stay dry, get the shelter. They had shelters there, so we didn't do that. But that was a memory of all this church. And surely, they will surely be missed.
Amen.
It was a great teacher on behalf of myself, my wife. She really liked those. So. Thank you.
And here comes Bill. I call him Willie the Weasel.
Okay, Shorty.
Something. He didn't hint once to say that it was too much. It was always go for it. We've been blessed to have him as our Sunday school teacher and friend.
Amen.
A friend more than a Sunday school teacher. But we will always, one thing about Dave, he stood tall.
Amen.
None of us here can read until we get to know that much about Scripture, which I've never been in here. But Dave didn't know the Bible inside and out. We shared his love with the congregation that we had here. It would all come up short because all family was short. We will definitely have great memories for many years to come. I hope many of you join this congregation. You know, come and visit us. Don't just come to visit Dave in his coffin. Come to visit us in life. And go enjoy Pastor Jackie's teachings. And God bless everybody that was here. And Sandy.
Amen. Bill? Always trying to get something free, you know. You know, I have, in the last couple of weeks, you know, I would come in, because we live in Lyle, so we didn't always make Sunday school pretty far, but I would always talk to Dave, and I don't know if you know, he was working on a new Grace Reference Bible, and I'm working on it, the pastor is, and a bunch of men. So I would ask him, how's going, and man, he had put in, I think he said, 60 hours that week. That's the kind of man he was. And then, I think 2 weeks ago, or last time I asked him, I says, how did the Sunday school class go? And he said, I barely made it through, because pain. But to show you the kind of man he was, he sacrificed even to use the gift God gave him to love people, edify them, build them up, and you just wouldn't believe how many people's lives he's touched because he put in the effort to study God's Word, grow himself, and give other people, help them to do it. So,
Merle went mentioned the fact that everybody looking up at the pulpit, there's two flower boxes that they've made.
Amen.
Those are his kids.
See, I didn't know Dave liked working with that, so him and Sandy, remember? We had some older ones that really needed to be replaced, and Dave was measuring, and I says, are you going to make them? And he goes, yeah, I think I might. And I said, why don't you let other people who you already put in a lot of time, give them a little ministry to do? And he says, yeah, maybe you're right. Next thing I know, he had... put him up. So I guess I didn't know he liked woodwork. You know?